The Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yeah, hello everybody. It's the Specials Podcast back for another week. We are predominantly talking about The Voice. With Rob Dixon. Hello, Rob Dixon.
Hello.
I don't know what I was going to call you then, but
God knows.
Out as Rob Dixon. You're not a robber?
Yeah. No, not yet. I might have to be, actually.
Is it getting that bad?
It is getting that bad, yeah.
Dear me. Yeah, The Voice, we're at the semi-final stage. We'll have a little look at the Eurovision odds as well. Maybe a little cheeky side glance at WWE.
Oh, it's wrestling this week. Yeah, wrestling.
You love wrestling now.
No, I hate it. Can't stand
it. You're the only bookmaker who puts these prices out.
I know, but I still don't mean I have to like it. There's a lot of things that I price up these days which I don't like. The boat race being one of them.
Right.
Interesting.
Should we talk The Voice, though?
Got
this is our main piece of talent TV at the moment. Sally Barker is the 11-10 favourite. Christina Marie, 13-8. Jermaine Jackman, 9-1. Jamie Johnson, 14-1. Sophie Mae Williams, 16-1. 20s for Chris Royal. The same for Lee Glasson. And 25-1 for your outsider in the market, Busy Dixon. Maybe a few surprises last week. Sally Barker was the least of the surprises. She was the absolute cast iron nailed on one that we put up last week. I think she was 1-4, wasn't she?
Yeah.
That was to win Team Tom. Christina Marie got through as well, of course, straight through. Lee Glasson, my pick, had to go through via the public vote. So did Chris Royal. So did Busy Dixon. And the other one to go through on the public vote was
Sophie Mae Williams.
Sophie Mae Williams, was it?
Yes,
wasn't Jermaine Jackman. That was Sophie.
No, Jermaine
interesting
Jackson
thing about last week. I mean, people may have picked this up already from watching The Voice, but I thought it was very interesting that those four public votes you had. Whether if you disregard the age for a second, although the age did come into it, the style of song that went through on each occasion was an older song. The newer acts with the newer songs all went home, which stands to reason, really, when you think the voting was done quite late at night, really, in TV terms. About 9 o'clock, was it? Somewhere around there. Well, all the young people are out by then, really. You know, it's only the old timers like me and you are on a Saturday night watching telly because our kids are in bed and we can't go out.
I certainly was, yes.
So, the demographic who are watching The Voice are much more likely to vote for a classic song or an older song than a new song that's in the charts now. I mean, to be fair, one of the songs, and I wouldn't class myself as being young and hip, Rob, at all, but I do know what's in the charts. I've got an 8-year-old daughter who's into that sort of stuff. Well, that Money, what's that? There was one song, Money Something. I'd not heard that before.
No.
So, I mean, if someone as hip and young as me hasn't heard it.
No, I think it's an interesting point that you brought up, which I didn't really sort of twig last week, but it is an hour later, isn't it, on a Saturday night. You're voting, obviously, with X Factor. Your X Factor show starts about 7 o'clock, half seven. Yep. So, and the voting lines pretty much stay open throughout. So, by sort of 7:45, 9 o'clock, then anybody who's anybody will be going out partying away, wouldn't they? But there were a few shocks. I was surprised that Rachel O'Connor went out. I think that was the main one. That's more the fact that I was disappointed because I'd got money on her. But yeah, I mean, you can make a case. You definitely make a case for the others. The thing is that front two in the market have been quite short and quite a long way clear now for probably since the end of the auditions.
Mm.
So it's not, we did say at the time that even though the prices tend to be a bit sort of mix and match, but anyone, there's no real difference, I don't think, between a Lee Glasson at 20-1 and a Jermaine Jackman at 9-1.
No.
Main, really only for the fact that the coach put Jermaine through straight away. But on the other side of the coin, somebody like Lee, at least we know that there's fan support out there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me to see, especially, I think Sally and Christina are certainties to make the final, but I think the other two categories are really open, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the odd shock or two.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, you know, we're starting to get. I really like Lee Glasson, and you wonder how many people out there actually like him. It's funny because I it was one of my first bets in The Voice, and
yeah.
Then if you watch Gogglebox. Do you ever watch that show?
Yeah.
Well, it's quite good. It's a bit of a barometer of what's going on.
That was a very good barometer for the Sam Bailey, wasn't it?
Did you see when they watched Lee Glasson?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, he's terrible. And, yeah. You know, all the people
why
on the
why has he gone through? What are you doing?
Because they're not voting, are they? No. When he went through, they were all like, what?
Well, that and it's filmed about 3 days afterwards.
Yeah.
Been a bit too late to vote, but I can see your point. That if that is the whole idea of a show like Gogglebox, is this is your typical British family sitting down to watch TV.
Mm.
How many people around the country would have been going, oh, Lee, you've murdered that. Well, it's a really good song. You've murdered it. But then he's obviously done enough to get through.
We've got some song choices through, Rob, already. We've got Team Kylie's song choices. Now, interestingly enough, the song that Jamie is singing, and Jamie was picked first by Kylie loves this guy, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Looks like Mark Walton, who we work with. he's singing this week, he's singing I Can't Make You Love Me, the Bonnie Raitt song. Which I do know, it doesn't stand out as being. No. I think he'll deliver it very well. Lee Glasson singing London Grammar's Strong, which I don't know. Do you know this song, Rob?
I'm not familiar.
I don't recognise it immediately, but we'll see if we recognise it once it gets going. Excuse me for a while I'm wide-eyed and I'm so down cold in the middle. Do you know this song?
No. Never heard of it in my life.
It's interesting that they're choosing a song that, and maybe we'll know it when the chorus kicks in a bit. It'll do it very well.
Yeah.
But.
No. I still haven't heard it. But
You need to know the song, don't you? You need to know the song as a viewer to vote for it, I think. I think you can get tripped up by being too clever.
I'm not convinced there's too many London Grammar fans out there that are going to be watching The Voice on a Saturday night. London Grammar as a group, they're kind of into the mainstream now. If you think of sort of Mercury Music Prize, that sort of music, and
that's
not really the audience for The Voice. If your audience voice viewers are sort of, I don't know, as we said, probably our sort of age with kids who are stuck in on a Saturday night.
Yeah. It's a terrible state of affairs.
I know, tell me about it.
As for Team Ricky, Christina Marie is going to be singing Bang Bang, the Nancy Sinatra song, but kind of a rock version of that. And Chris Royle, my other big hope, is singing Nat King Cole's Smile. He seems to be going down the road of being more of a kind of a bit of a crooner, doesn't he? Which is a bit of a surprise. I think, I still think at the price he's got a genuine chance. I think he's kind of understated enough. I think if you back him at 20s, I think he's got a really good chance of beating Christina Marie to the final on a public vote. There's something about her that isn't that likable.
Well, it's 7-1 he wins the public vote today. This week. I've seen worse bets out there.
We've got the team betting. Rob's done this. We've got Team Kylie. It's Jamie Johnson 8-13, Lee Glasson 6-5. I think with what we've just said about the Lee Glasson song, I think that, unfortunately for me, I think that Lee Glasson will lose that.
I think
they'll go with Jamie. He's a more likeable kind of guy. Even though I like Lee Glasson miles more than Jamie Johnson. Jamie Johnson is just his reality talent show fodder, isn't he?
Yeah.
8-13. That looks a fair price, really. I think Sally Barker 1-33 of a busy Dixon. I mean, I'd be amazed if she gets beat.
No, she can't sing.
She could sing the phone book and she'd still get through.
Yeah.
Jermaine Jackman 1-2. Sophie Mae Williams 6-4.
This is the one where I think this whole thing that we were talking about, this whole demographic, I think suits Sophie Mae Williams down to the ground. But it's just a question of whether he was very, very, very keen on Jermaine Jackman last week.
Yeah.
So it's just how it goes. I mean, with it being Will, it can go either way, can't it?
His songs haven't been leaked on the internet yet, or haven't been revealed on the internet yet, so we haven't got the benefit of seeing what their actual is.
No, I mean, I'd imagine, from what I've seen so far, I imagine Sophie's would be some kind of, it's quite a big sort of show number, I'd imagine, some sort of quite old style sort of pomp and sort of show number, while
the other one,
the other kids, will be. I think it'd be a bit quite appealing to a sort of a quite more of a younger audience. Yeah. But
for the purposes of letting you know, Tom's song choices for Sally Barker, she's doing The Waterboys, The Hole in the Moon, great song, and Busy Dixon's doing George Benson, Everything Must Change. So I mean, it's interesting, Sally Barker, she does some, you know, when she did the Ollie Murs song, it would you think, oh, Ollie Murs, really? And then she does it so well.
Yeah.
And this could be, again, it's a song that everyone of our generation loves.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes on the radio, you'll immediately be singing along to it.
Yeah, so just hum it and McCowd, wouldn't you?
So. Yeah, so, I'd love to make an argument for Lee Glasson to win, but I think I'm going to have to go for the 7-1 Chris Royal as my as my only bet this week. With 8-13, the 8-13 on Lee Glasson to get beat. Unfortunately, I'd have that as well.
As the outside, I thought I'm going to take a punt with Sophie Mae Williams. I think I'd like to go sort of against Christina Marie because I think it is too short. And I can obviously make a case for Lee Glasson as well. But again, like you, the songs maybe just put me off now.
Right, yeah.
I just think that I think Sophie Mae Williams, out the outsiders, I think Sophie Mae Williams has definitely got the best chance of the four. And I think at 6-4, probably still represents a little bit of value if you're not on the outright.
The group performances, by the way, Kylie Minogue group are doing Into the Blue, Team Ricky doing The Kinks, You Really Got Me, and Team Tom doing Dancing in the Streets by Martha and the Vandellas. Once again, Team Will's song choice is not available as we record this at midday on Friday. Good luck with your bets on The Voice. It starts at 7 p.m. on Saturday night on BBC One, finishes sometime Sunday afternoon. It did drag a bit last week, didn't it?
God, it went on for hours.
Someone pointed out something about the kind of comparing, I think it was a blog on The Guardian, saying at least with The X Factor, you get adverts. So it breaks it up.
Yeah,
and it's true, that, isn't it?
You can
get all that, you see. I watch it on catch up because, you know, I basically put the girls to bed and then I can fast forward through all them. I mean, why the hell are they getting them off stage to talk to Marvin?
I do it in play. It's not, it is a bit.
What bit will they have to talk to Marvin Hume? I mean, come on. It's
but then on the other side of that, I do the Oscars, which is basically 4.5 hours to open 20 envelopes. So
yeah, that's long.
I think you get used to it, don't you? Get used to, I mean, that first week of X Factor, the whole X Factor thing. There is talk now that that Simon is going to ramp it up a bit. I think he's going to get rid of Boot Camp, which is the bit I can't stand anyway.
It does seem a bit pointless, doesn't it? Yeah. What about this set before we leave The Voice? Kylie Minogue to be a judge on The Voice UK 2015. Yes, 6-4. No, 1-2. She's kind of come out and said she doesn't want to do it again.
She doesn't want to do it again. She's touring. So it looks to me like a no. I know that BBC are very keen to keep her.
Well, I think she's been the highlight of the show.
There's even talk that they're going to try and move the show to help with that she can tour and then do the show after the tour. But then obviously if you move it, you kind of get stuck into X Factor. You don't really want to go head to head with X Factor. You can't do it in September because you've got Strictly. So
Just the final market, the winning manager, Sir Tom Jones is 11-10, same price as Sally Barker, of course. Ricky Wilson 6-4. Will.i.am 5-1, Kylie Minogue 9-1. I've got to say that's 6-4. I think he's got two live chances. If Chris Royal was to get through, I think he might have some popular support on his back. And obviously Christina Marie is a second favourite in the market, so I think that's probably a decent bet, 6-4.
Yeah, you're up again. The 11-10 basically means you get a free bet on Busy Dixon.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to come to that. But you're going to have to rely on him for your win.
I don't think he's going to be. Jamie's an interesting one. I mean, I just don't see that. It's a bit too much wallpaper, isn't he, to win it for Kylie?
Yeah. I was just looking, maybe as an outsider. I know, obviously, the prices are what they are in relation to the outright, but maybe Will.i.am at 5-1. I'm just thinking
Jermaine
that
Jackman,
while the others are sort of stuck in, if there is a shock, there is a shock of Sally or Christina getting beat, your bet to me is pretty much down.
Yeah.
I just think you've got, Will's probably got two live chances still to win this, and he's probably the only one that has. He's probably got the better of as a combination, he's probably got the better of the two.
Amazing, really, isn't it, Rob, when you look at that final list, the betting was so top-heavy with women. And now there's more men than women in the semi-finals.
Yeah,
5v3. I mean, it just shows with The Voice that the markets are wrong.
Well, definitely.
A lot of time, aren't they? So hard for you guys to pick who's going.
Through the audition, Sophie Mae Williams was Fav.
Mm, yeah. And Rachel O'Connor was next to her,
yeah,
wasn't she?
All the way through. And I think Sally Barker was about 10 to 1. Christina Marie, I think, was
right
about
back to her at 9. So
12.
Was that before the first
That would have
before,
been before the quarterfinals, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. The Eurovision Song Contest, we are creeping ever closer. We've got United Kingdom specials and we've got the outrights. The outrights have seen even more money for Armenia, 5-6. Fav's it shortened even more. I mean, an odds on Fav. This far out, I mean, didn't have this last year. It wasn't quite that
short.
No,
nowhere near.
It?
Sweden was still a little bit bigger this time 2 years ago. Mm. But yeah. I mean,
5-6.
5-6, it's the money's there. A lot of the European money as well. There's not as much UK money for Armenia. The UK money seems to have been for Denmark and Hungary.
Well,
but the actual European money that we take has been predominantly for Armenia.
I saw a bit of chat on Twitter about maybe UK doing better this year than ever before recently. I mean, 14-1 to win it, and there's the specials as well. Top five finish, yes, 7-4, and then the other ones. I mean, to score 0.33 is to finish bottom 16, not to finish in top five.
To be quite honest, the bottom two you can take out the thing. There's no way they can. I think I'd like to see what price, if any firm goes up with a top 10 finish. I think they might sneak a top 10. Mm.
What would that be? I mean, what are we looking at, 8-13?
Yeah,
shorter?
I think it's definitely odds on that they get a top 10 finish. But I just think that, in my ratings, I've got them finishing seventh.
Right.
And that's because I really do like the song.
I didn't know this.
I do Eurovision. I take Eurovision really seriously. The voice in that,
Hang on, it's all right. So, you're doing ratings. Where do you come in your ratings?
I'll be honest with you, it's not too different from the market which I create every week. But, I mean, there's a few. I don't think Azerbaijan will do as well as what people are expecting. So, I think at 12-1, you can pass them over. I do like Denmark. I'm not overly keen on Hungary. Belgium, I think, could be... do well. There's a few little quirky ones. Poland 40, I quite like Malta at 50.
These are probably going to be decent top 10 bets then,
definitely
when we get those markets
the sort of qualification. Iceland I think might sneak a qualification as well. They'd be odds against for qualification. And Austria with their transgender act as well at 33-1.
Yeah, so it always gets a bit of interest on the night, doesn't it?
Definitely. I mean, obviously, as far as we get a lot more markets out in the next sort of 2-3 weeks.
Can't wait.
First week of May, semi-finals and final live in running by me.
Wow. WWE returns to the screens this weekend. We've got some match bets where Daniel Bryan is taking on Triple H, 1-33. Daniel Bryan in the singles match. The Undertaker is 1-20 to beat Brock Lesnar. 8-1 Lesnar. Bray Wyatt 4-11 to beat John Cena at 2-1. We've also got the WWE WrestleMania Triple Threat match. I mean, we're all looking forward to the Triple Threat. Daniel Bryan 1-8 to win this. Batista 6-1. Randy Orton 12-1. And Triple H 20-1. We've also got. Is that the same thing? It's the heavyweight championship, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Triple Threat.
Yeah, the Triple Threat is for heavyweight. There's a qualifying match between Daniel Bryan and Triple H. So one of them will be eliminated there, and then the three will go on to fight for the WWE Heavyweight Championship.
Wow.
For the 30th year of WrestleMania. The largest show in WWE.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
This is?
Oh, I can tell you. No, we're not.
No, this
WrestleMania
this
is the biggest, big, their biggest pay-per-view. This is like their equivalent of like an FA Cup final.
And 30th year, it must be quite a biggie as well.
30th year, yeah. It's
just a shame that there's such an obvious favourite.
Well, that's a
one
shame.
To eight.
That's wrestling for you, isn't it? Mm.
But I mean, do the kids who watch it know how strong a favourite it is?
No.
They just bet the one they like.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying the kids would even bet. What I'm saying is, you know, the people who watch this who are genuinely fans, who don't have a bet in it, who are just watching it because they love WWE, will they know from the storyline that Daniel Bryan is that obvious to win it?
Yeah.
Why are they going? Why are they going to watch it if they know what's going to happen?
Because it's for the same
at least in soap operas, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but for the same reason people watch soaps.
By the way, who killed that person? Has that happened yet?
No. No one's died.
Right.
Breaking news from Coronation Street.
Was it supposed to happen already?
No, not yet. A few weeks' time.
Okay. you can tell I don't watch it. We've got Schlag Dem Rab on the website. Royal specials. What are these royal specials here, Robert?
I think it's just when Prince Harry and...
Rob's got to go to Primark, so we're just killing time now.
I need to go to Primark. I need to go to like a high-quality up-end shop. I've got to go to Primark for the wife.
Superb. Let's have a quick look at the FHM Sexiest Woman. Michelle Keegan's gone fab.
Oh, she's lovely, isn't she?
Well, yeah, but why has she gone fab?
Did you see the selfie?
No.
She's got a load of criticism for the selfie.
Why? What
because she's put this selfie out.
What, no-makeup selfie?
The no-makeup selfie, which was... Look at this.
Hopefully this is better than the ones on my Facebook timeline.
Oh, tell you what. Shocking. Tell you what, why am I friends with half of these people?
Oh,
they're
my God.
Proper minging. It's all for a good cause. I have given money to this charity, I'd like to say, before I can start slagging him off. She was lovely. She looked absolutely lovely.
Why did she get criticised for it?
Well, because somebody says that they think that she's put makeup on, like a clear makeup. I don't know. You'd have to bring some of the girls in to describe this.
I'll get Kellner coming later on.
Kellner will come and tell you.
Where's the picture?
There.
Damn me.
I know. But then she says... out and says, I've got 14,000 likes from this. Now, if everybody donated that £3, that's £42,000 that I've donated. I've helped donate. What have you donated to this Twitter troll? And she had a point, but
I must remember to delete that from my camera roll later on. Right, must remember. I've saved it to my camera roll so I can zoom in.
Wife will understand that Michelle Keegan's better looking.
The thing is with stars like this is that they have everything done. So their eyebrows are done. So they look like they've got makeup on.
Yeah,
I bet her lips have got permanent lip gloss on. You know, like they can get like lip gloss tattooed on, Rob.
Can you?
No, you can't. But, you know, jeez, look at her. She looks better there than she does when she's made up.
I know.
How long do you think we can just look at this picture sat next to each other?
How long have we got left in the podcast? About 45 seconds.
Michelle Keegan? How long's a piece of string?
Anyway, 5-2, FHM Sexiest Woman. This is probably
She's gone 5-2.
Bet of the year now, yeah.
What, 5-2?
Well, the other one's pregnant, isn't she? Mila Kunis.
Is she?
Yeah, she's just going to get fat and wrinkly now. And that's it.
I still wish I'd backed Jennifer Lawrence at a big price.
She was lovely on the Oscars. She's absolutely gorgeous.
She's grateful stuff, but she's just too much of a feminist, too much of a strong woman to win FHM Woman of the Year.
Can we make a case for any others? Lady Gaga.
Who's Margot Robbie?
Margot Robbie, she's Irish. Okay. I can't tell you much about her.
Just Google image all these.
That's the best way to do this. Hey, I'll tell you what, what we have to do, we have to get the TV screens like we do with Robbie. There's Margot Robbie. She's an Australian actress.
I'm not.
She's best known for a role as Donna Friedman in Neighbours. See, I haven't watched Neighbours since Mrs. Mangle was around. And she doesn't seem to have appeared on the FHM Sexiest Woman list, so...
Mrs. Mangle, no, she just missed out, didn't she, that year?
She did.
Michelle Keegan. We made money off Michelle Keegan last year for the Sexiest Woman at the Soap Awards, didn't we, or something?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we did. That might have had something to do with the fact that I probably lost as much... sort of ringing into vote for her.
You're a fan.
I'm a big fan of Michelle Keegan. I'm not going to deny it.
There's no need to deny it at all. Yeah. There was some chat in the office, Rob, the other day about the next James Bond. A lot of people getting excited about this.
Was it Mel? No, I don't think she's going to make a Mel.
There was a few people who were talking about it. And I'll tell you who got a bit of a talk up from some people who seem to know quite a lot. That's Henry Cavill. Wasn't he in the running for it in the last time?
Yeah.
Well, 20-1, that might not be the worst shout in the world. Tom Hardy, 7-2. He's a bit too overly masculine for a James Bond for me. Idris Elba, to be the first Black Bond, of course, 5-1, quite like that. Michael Fassbender, 5-1. Damian Lewis, 20s. Henry Cavill, 20s. 25-1, John Hamm, and then 25-1, Sam Worthington, 33s and bigger, the rest. No way that Christian Bale will be the next Bond. Unless he's got serious mental issues or something.
I saw Vinnie Jones come out on the pitch at Ellen Road last Saturday. I'd like to say that Vinnie Jones won't be the next James Bond either. In his big purple hat.
How was he?
He was all right. Yeah. He was in,
he's been poorly, hasn't he, Vinny?
He was. He seems in good form. Hopefully he's back on the mend.
He inspired them to a 2-1 win over Millwall as well, I
think. Another struggle. And then got thumped in midweek by the powerhouse of football that is Bournemouth. So.
But the players have partially been paid, so that means you'll get another partial performance.
Well, as I said on Twitter, surely we only have to pay partially to go in tomorrow
Fair
night.
Enough.
But there we go.
Yeah.
Leeds Doncaster available on the console tomorrow afternoon.
Wow. Big game. Big Yorkshire derby. Rob, thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.
We'll speak next week for the Voice Final. If you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've discussed today, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.